All right, Sabbath blessings, everybody. If you can kneel where you're at, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, we praise you, we worship you, we trust you, and we love you. Thank you for another beautiful Sabbath day. Thank you for the week that we just got through. Thank you for the trials and tribulations that we went through to help us get closer to a perfect character that emulates your Son. We thank you for blessing us with a day of rest each and every week, a day that you come and change the showbread. You come to be among your people. As you say, whenever two or more are gathered, you're there in our midst, and we have more than two gathered. We thank you, Father, for being a loving Father. You are our God and our Heavenly Father. And that is a wonderful loving gift. We thank you for bridling any tongue that may speak today so that your words come forth and you are the one glorified. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness, giving us souls that and deep down desires that want to please you. Thank you for opening your scriptures to us, opening our eyes to it, especially the prophecies, because we're living in the last days where things are happening right before our eyes. And thank you for giving us opportunities to share what you show us with others so that we can help bring more people to the truth and thereby allow your Holy Spirit to water the seeds that we plant so that we can have more heavenly residents when we make it home. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen and amen. Just curious why you called there, Mondo, but we'll talk later. It wasn't anything important, was it? I mean, he's in the room, right? Yeah, he's there. Not really? Okay, cool. All right. Okay, we're still in Manuscripts and Letters from the Last Day Events by Sister White. For those of you that are new, I noticed there's some new names in the room right now. Once in a while I do need to explain over there. If you don't look upon Ellen White as a prophet, that's okay. Just look at her books and or try using her books for about 6 months, and I guarantee you, if you use her books when you're looking to figure out what scripture means in like the hard areas, when you're in the scriptures, like in the meat, or sometimes even in the milk of scripture, and you're looking for a Bible commentator, if you use her books for about 6 months, I guarantee it, if you are a soul-seeking truth, you will never, ever use Matthew Easton again, or Spurgeon, or Matthew Henry, or Charles Easton, I think it is, yeah. You'll just put those other books down, especially books like Schofield's reference notes or the NIV stuff with all their massive errors in there. And they're just loaded with holes, especially in the area of prophecy. They go from one theology to the next without explaining it, and there's these big gaps and stuff, and they call it gap theories. But you don't find that in Sister White's writing. She explains, and she uses the scriptures to explain symbols and prophecy, because that's what you're supposed to do. The Bible has explained every single one of its symbols in it. It's just our job to figure out where the definitions are. And so we praise the Lord for his word. And anyway, plus it did say that in the last days your daughters shall prophesy, and she is indeed a daughter of some parent. Okay, we're on page 42 for those of you that actually have the physical book. For those of you that are in the room, looks like Luke already jumped us there. We're letter 83, May 22nd, 1896. This is the chapter that deals with, let me go back to the beginning of this chapter. This is chapter 5, Opposing Forces. Okay. All right, letter 83, May 22nd. Right. Much that has been revealed to me crowds upon my mind, which I hardly know how to express, yet I cannot hold my peace. The Lord is indignant at men who set themselves up to rule their fellow men and carry out plans which the Holy Spirit has condemned. The natural heart is not to bring its own tainted, corrupting principles into the work of God. There must be no concealing of the principles of our faith. The third angel's message is to be sounded by God's people. It is to swell to a loud cry. The Lord has a time appointed when he will bind off the work, but when is that time? When the truth to be proclaimed for these last days shall go forth as a witness to all nations, then shall the end come. And by the way, that's one of the reasons they put forth the National Sunday Law. We don't start yelling a loud cry after the National Sunday Law. It's because of the loud cry that we proclaim that brings it about. They're trying to shut us up with it. And you can more or less all see how the Catholic Church is getting the people readied to go to their camp. And to do so, they have to get the Bible out of their hands. We've known that since day one, like back in the Council of Valencia in the year 1229 AD, the Catholic Church put the Bible on the Index of Forbidden Books, and the reason they did that is because they know that if you open that Bible and you are a soul-seeking truth, you will find out that the Roman Catholic Church is the house of Antichrist, and so they got rid of the Bibles. Yeah, and yeah. Thank you for reminding me, because I must have gotten, it has to be over a dozen separate emails from people. Rick from Florida sent me an email too about this morning, I think. Oh no, he sent me a whole new one about something else that's happening that's pretty amazing. I can't remember exactly what the topic was on that. If he throws a topic in the room, I'll throw that out there. But the Vatican is swearing off the Bible. In other words, they're saying, now they've said this for years, I've got like on my Words of the Beast page on the website, it's in the warning section, I've got quote after quote after quote where the Vatican says plainly that they don't believe the Bible is true. They call it a dead letter, a dead and speechless book. I mean, these are actual quotes. They says it's dead and its interpreter is also dead or something. Some of the quotes are just downright hateful. And they even go so far as to say they're looking for heretics, schismatics, Bible societies, and pests of this sort should be wiped out by flames. They have quotes like that in there too. So anybody that reads the Bible, they want to get rid of. And this is one of the reasons Amos proclaimed in Amos chapter 8 about in the last days there'll be a famine in the land, not a famine of thirst or food. It'll be a famine of reading the words of God. Main reason being is the Vatican has to get people out of the Bibles because there's going to be a flurry of prophetic events in the coming days. They've already started. You know, we see all these things. Everything from the Vatican having a new phone service that all you got to do is dial 0, you got to dial 606060, and it'll let you know what the Roman government is doing at that time. It's like an information network they just started a couple of months ago. I'm not kidding. It's the phone number is 606060, so it's actually just 666. And the reason they use the 3-6 is because that is the pagan god's favorite number. If you look in some of their convents, they have the 3-6s, and they got all this artwork that has the 3-6s in it. Or they'll have these numeric tables that like courtyards in the back of con, and like Michael Scheifler had a picture on his website where they show a courtyard in the back of a convent in San Francisco, and it has the numeric squares on the ground outside, and any number you count, you know, up, down, left, right, diagonal, forward, backward, like a jigsaw or a crossword puzzle, it all equals 666. So it's something they have to proclaim. It's something they embrace. I mean, just the name, Vicarius Filii Dei, also equals 666. And so the Vatican is doing everything it can to prevent the people from reading the Bibles. And in the coming days, there's going to be a flurry of prophetic events. And if they can get as many people out of the Bibles as possible, they're going to miss all these prophetic events. And this is where our job comes in. We have to be a little bit more intense when we share the truth in these last days, and they know it. And this is why you see laws like what's happening in Canada. Right now it's against the law to use a Bible when speaking to a homosexual. If the homosexual wants, you can have you thrown in jail up to 5 years. And the reason they're doing that in Canada and not so much, well, they're kind of starting to do it here in United States of America, what happened in Philadelphia there with the Philadelphia 11, they're calling them, or the Philadelphia 9, where they're they went to a homosexual parade or some kind of an event where the Pink Angels were there, and they were picketing, and they were doing it peacefully. They were showing Bible scriptures on the pickets. And the Pink Angels came up with all just attacking and yelling and screaming and throwing things and using four-letter words. And so what happened? The police arrested the Christians. They didn't arrest the people that were assaulting the Christians. They arrested the Christians. And now they're going through all these court dates and stuff like that. And this is, they're trying to shut us up. So it's when we, let me, reading back a little bit, it says, when the truth is to be proclaimed for the last days, shall go forth a witness to all nations, then shall the end come. So it's because of our proclaiming it that generates their hatred of it, that generates the new laws, and then of course when the new laws come, like the Revelation says, speak and cause, you know, the unjust laws that they'll put upon us, then Christ will split the sky. Continuing, it says, if the power of Satan can come into the very temple of God and manipulate things as he pleases, the time of preparation will be prolonged. Men in responsible positions have manifested the very attributes that Satan has revealed. There has been an effort to bring God's servants under the control of men. Principles have been born that should never have seen the light of day. Finite men have been warring against God and the truth and the Lord's chosen messengers, counterworking them by very means they dare to use. Case in point, the General Conference Seventh-day Adventist Church sues people that use the name Seventh-day Adventist. Now, what does it say in the scriptures about taking your brother to court? They financially destroyed these people, and the lawyers they used to sue them were Catholic lawyers. They have already stated, I got quotes from Neil Wilson stating that the Seventh-day Adventist Church is a Catholic church. He used the term, it is a Catholic organization or something like that. He used the word Catholic. It's been quoted. It's on the SDA Apostasy website. It's on a lot of websites now, as a matter of fact. They have, they're doing things that we know for a fact that are fruits of Satan, the very attributes of Satan that Sister White mentions here. They have been revealed. Everything from losing $50 million of the people's tithe money to gambling in the stock market to having Seventh-day Adventist churches open for worship on Sundays. And what's worse, they have Easter morning sunrise services. That's right out of Eöster. That's right out of that pagan worship of Eöster, that pagan sun god out of the Old Testament. She was called Eöster, or he was called, however, I don't know what the gender is of that god. It doesn't really matter. It's not a real god. It's just a demon parading as one. Continuing, it says, it is an offense to God that his work should be restricted by human beings. Nothing that man can manufacture can take the place of God's Holy Spirit. Nothing that man's wisdom can invent will justify the violation of truth or a disregard to the rights of humanity. The enemy would clog the wheels of progress and prevent the truths of the gospel from being circulated everywhere. With this object, he leads men to feel that it is their privilege to control the conscience of their fellow men according to their own perverted ideas. Like, for example, they try to get me arrested for, try to control my desire to go and warn the Seventh-day Adventist people, for example, or even the Catholics. Many times they have tried to get me arrested in the Catholic Church. But just recently, this is one of the reasons I put up the website, SDAApostasy.org, because of I had a small page on the main website called GCSDA with a question mark on it. And on there I had, I don't know, maybe 100 articles, maybe 75 articles. That's all it was, just a page for articles, things that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has put out in Adventist Review. And all you do is just read these articles. If you can't see what's going on, then I pray you get on your knees and ask the Lord to open your eyes. But some GC preachers take a look at that page. And think about it, folks. I've got, like, right now about 3,000. I mean, I don't know how many. I've got a lot of pages on the website. It's pretty close to 4,000 now. And but I only had one page on there from the GCSDA exposing it. And so this one GC preacher thought it was right to go to the Adventist Review and a bunch of other Adventist magazines, as well as contact my ISPs. At that time, I had two ISPs. I had one in Australia. And I shut that one down on my own accord because they were having... they changed hands, the owners, and I didn't trust the new owners, and so I just said, no, I pulled the website. And he put in writing in an email that he lied. This GC preacher literally lied and said that I was doing copyright infringement. And so obviously, my ISPs, as well as the Adventist Review and all these other magazines, investigated and found it was all a lie. So, I never got any flack from it at all. Well, my ISP called and was a little bit concerned, and I let them know. I said, look, check it out for yourself. There's a source on every quote. And this is what we're dealing with now. This is how, in other words, it's just like what the Catholics would do for me. This is why I believe the Lord allowed me to have this ministry in regards to evangelizing Catholics for 20 years before I started seeing what was going on with the Seventh-day Adventists. Because they use the same techniques now. When they know they cannot use a Bible to back their theology, they'll use force. Because there's no other way. And this is what he tried to do. And instead it put egg on it, it just backfired. And he lost a lot of friends on that one, I guess. But anyway, getting back, continuing, it says, then dismiss the whole, well, let me backtrack a little bit. It says, with this object, he leads men to feel that it is their privilege to control the conscience of their fellow men. Hold on, go back. Who did that? Somebody changed a, please don't change the pages in the room. Okay. Thank you. It's probably just a boo-boo, no biggie. And because it knocks everybody's reading along. All right. Where was I? Okay, here it is. With this object, he leads men to feel that it is their privilege to control the consciences of their fellow men according to their own perverted ideas, then dismiss the Holy Spirit from their councils, and then, under the power and name of the General Conference, they invent regulations through which they compel men to be ruled by their own ideas and not by the Holy Spirit. And this is sad to say, but this is happening. I can't remember the exact quote where Sister White actually says, where at one time when the Holy Spirit was involved in this conference, that day has passed. It's on the main page, right, when you go to the Yesterday Apostasy website. Right there I got two quotes where they're just overwhelmingly blunt. Now, these quotes from Sister White are not heard from General Conference pulpits, nor will you hear the quotes in context in regards to where Sister White says that this church will become Babylon if it continues on in this path. They'll say quotes that say, oh, never call the church Babylon, and they'll take them out of context when she was actually talking about the church in her day, because it was not Babylon at that time. Later on, she says, if they continue on in this path, they will become Babylon. But those quotes they won't show, nor will they show the complete context of the ones where she's saying don't call it Babylon, because then it will prove they're taking it out of context. So this is our job, people. This is where we have to show the people, put it back in context. Because the devil, look at it this way. The devil uses the Bible out of context to push Catholic theology. In the same way he uses Sister White's writings out of context to push Adventist theology, the way the new Adventist theology. I'm not talking about the Adventist theology that Sister White was involved in, because that is more or less the theology we're involved in. What she was involved in is what we're doing our best to push forward. What the General Conference has manipulated and changed, and everything from preaching Trinity to changing their 27th, they got all these weird new beliefs now, that is not Seventh-day Adventism. But they want the name, it's copyrighted, let them have it. You know, that's their prerogative. It's not about a name. Anyway, continuing, it says, the plans to obtain control of human minds and abilities are as strange fire, which is an offense to God. And we all know about what happened with the strange fire when the two young men tried to use that in the sanctuary. There is need of an education in regards to the rights and duties of men in authority. Until the day of trial comes, how little men know of their own weaknesses. They think themselves wise and make themselves fools. There is nothing that men may pride themselves in. Even those in most responsible positions do fall into sin while apparently surrounded by the best religious privileges. It's a daily work, no matter how, that's why I always I try my best not to, you know, you got to keep yourself humble. In other words, you don't seek self-gratification. You try to keep as close to Christ as possible, because I know that, you know, like, for example, like when I study the Word, and I have a really lousy ability to memorize things, but I have a very strong, firm faith in John 14:26, where it says he'll bring all things to my remembrance, whatever he says unto me. And so if it wasn't for him being in our lives, we wouldn't have the ability to speak the things that he wants us to speak. So we can't claim this for ourselves. You know, it's just like with salvation. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. We're just doing as he directs us to do. But there's so many out there that get this big swelled head. I mean, you see it all over the TV. They can do no wrong. And it's like they're walking on water, and, you know, and they're asking you for millions and millions and millions of dollars. And they don't know babes in Christ know more in theology and doctrine than they do. But they, and they certainly won't accept any correction from a babe in Christ, because they're way above that. How dare you even come into my air presence, you know, kind of attitudes. Like the Pharisees did, you know. Oh, thank you, Lord, for not making me like the man in the back of the church that's beating his breast, you know. The man in the back of church, his prayer hit the ears of the Almighty. Continuing, it says, God reads the motives that underline the work of which I have spoken. These motives have been revealed to me, and I feel a depth of sorrow that is beyond expression. I cannot vindicate motives or methods because they are an offense to God. I must take my stand fully, but what need for me to say more? I have written over and over again, but what has been the effect of the testimonies? What reformations have they wrought? I mean, think about that, folks. So many people today in the Catholic Church, in the Baptist Church, in the Pentecostal Church, in the Seventh, I mean, all the churches, they're saying we got to stay in the church, clean it up from the inside. And here a prophet is in the church doing everything she can to try to, you know, get the reformation from within. And she's telling you, how many times you got to do it? Over and over and over again. It's just like a waste of time. Come out of her, my people. There's no gray areas in that verse. I mean, it doesn't say stay in her, my people, and try to get everything worked out while you're in there, you know. Continuing, she says, justification by faith will be manifest in transformation of character. This is the sign to the world of the truth of the doctrines we profess. The daily evidence that we are a living church is seen in the fact that we are practicing the Word. A living testimony goes forth to the world in consistent Christian action. It declares to a world apostatized that there is a people who believe that our safety is in clinging to the Bible. This testimony is an unmistakable distinction from that of the great apostate church, which adopts human wisdom and authority to place and authority in place of the wisdom and authority of God. And boy, this is just so accurate for today with that new article that just came out where the Catholic Church says they are above the Bible. And they have a list of scriptures at the end of the article, not a lot of them. I'm sure they got a lot more in their own personal little notes. It's in the back, yeah, it's not on the, well, some of the papers put it on the headline, but it started out in, I don't know exactly where it started out, but they put a list of scriptures where they're saying, not true, and it has a list, everything from, they're saying the Genesis story regards where the Lord put Adam to sleep and then removed a rib, they're saying that's not true. They're also talking about the fact that the Jews said, yeah, I know. Well, the Pope John Paul II stated back in 1998 that evolution is sound, so he's already calling Adam and Eve a myth. But later on, there's another verse that they said that's not true. It is the one where the Jews said, "Let his blood be upon us." They're saying the Jews never said that in regards to where Jesus Christ. If he's, you know, let his blood be upon us, when Pontius Pilate says, look, you know, I wash my hands of the whole deal. He goes, let his blood be upon us, go ahead and crucify him. And they're saying that's not true. And some things in prophecy, too, they're saying are not true, which we know what they're doing. They're getting the people ready in the planet for the mark of the beast. And how long is it going to take them to do this? Not long. I mean, you can throw a stone in any small town and you're going to hit people that just don't read Bibles. I mean, it's not hard. I mean, how many... I can imagine how many people have come forward that, you know, have heard young people today actually think the name Jesus Christ is a swear word. I ran into people 10 years ago. Remember the three brothers? That was sad. Those three brothers believed Jesus Christ was just a swear word. And then didn't you tell me about something the other day about someone or maybe it was somebody online that says they were going to start, or somebody wrote me an email saying they were starting some kind of a youth group or a video or something like that to show young people that Jesus Christ is not a swear word. Because they're running into teenagers, that's all they think, that they just think it's just like any other swear word. They don't realize it's the name of their Savior. Continuing and finishing up, it says, the Lord Jesus is needed to cleanse the institution of Battle Creek as verily as he was needed to cleanse the temple when he was on earth. Oh, that our institutions might be purified from the buyers and the sellers and the merchandise. Think about this, folks. She was saying this back in 1896. Do you think it's gotten better? Okay, over 100 years people have been in this church trying to clean it from within. Has it gotten better? No. The Jesuits have taken it over completely. So much so that Burt Beach hands the Pope the Medal of Honor, shakes hands with him, and lets them photograph him doing it. And then Neil Wilson says, we no longer consider the Pope Antichrist. That's on the historical trash heap as far as Seventh-day Adventists are concerned. This is their words. It has been taken over. And the reason it has been taken over is obvious. This church was a major threat to the Vatican. They had to infiltrate, just like Russia was a major threat to the United States of America. So our spies infiltrate that country to destroy it from within. Well, the Church of Rome does the exact same thing because it's not only a church, it's a government. And they use their Jesuits the way government agents use their spies, even when it comes to killing, murders, and stuff like that. Same thing. And so when they see something, and you got to believe it, folks, it was the ninth hour that Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 7 talks about, when them Seventh-day Adventists started coming out of hiding because the Vatican had stopped killing the Christians because Napoleon put them out of business for a while. All of a sudden you got these people that are coming out of hiding that not only keep the seventh-day Sabbath, they have an uncanny ability to explain prophecy using a Bible. That was a major threat. This church was a major, major threat. And now look what Revelation 12, 17 says. The dragon's angry at the woman, yeah, but he's not making war with her anymore. It says very plainly in Revelation 12, 17, he's making war with the remnant of her seed. He's not going after the woman anymore, because he's got her. Finishing up, it says, men have come to Battle Creek who have been accompanied by the Holy Spirit, but unless they fought every inch of ground over and over again in seeking to maintain correct methods, they were at last overborne. Right at the point where our work centers, they have seen corruption. And this is, in for them to say that this church is safe to stay in, they're calling Sister White and Scriptures liars. Because the Bible says, how can two walk together except they be agreed? If they're walking together, they must be in agreement then. No other way around it. There's no gray areas in a statement like that. God would have his temple no longer a den of thieves and money changers. The Lord will not be trifled with. He will test and try his people. He will thoroughly purge his floor and will gather his wheat into his garner. Praise the Lord. We'll pick it up here next week in Manuscript 46, March 31st, 1898. Be back in a minute or two. I'm just going to get a little drink of water here. And I guess we're going to sing first, right? I ask that every week, I know, but I'm going to get used to this. We're doing things a little different here. All right, we'll be back in a minute, folks.